You made me for your glory. You made me for your glory. I was made for love. Now I have a purpose. Now I have a destiny. You made me for your glory. You made me for your glory. I was made for love. Now I have a purpose. And now I have a destiny. You made me for your glory. You made me for your glory. I was made for love. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How are you supposed to transition from that? I want you to hear what Scripture says about you. I know we got announcements, I know we got classes, all that, but I'm just in the moment. I want you to hear what Scripture says about you. And the reason it says this about you is because it says this about Jesus. And what John tells us in the New Testament, he says that as Jesus was, so also are we in this world. Did you get that? So in other words, however the Father sent Jesus, however Jesus was operating in this world, the same is true for you. And here's what it says about Jesus in Isaiah 61. And if it says this about Jesus, it's saying this about you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the year of Jubilee. That's the year of freedom. And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. This is what Scripture says about you, because it says it about Him. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, that He has anointed you. And I want you to see this as well, in verse 3. To comfort those who mourn in Zion. And I feel like this is a prophetic word for a lot of us right now. To give you beauty for ashes. In other words, whatever seems to have been destroyed, whatever seems to have been burnt, whatever seems to have been lost, he says, in those areas where it seems like it's lost, in those areas that it seems like it's burnt and destroyed and gone, he says, I'm going to give you beauty in those same areas. He says that I'm going to give you the oil of joy instead of mourning. I felt that oil of joy come in when they started singing that last phrase. I mean, I literally sensed the oil of joy, the oil of gladness come in here. And he says, and I'm going to give you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. You know that word heaviness there? You know what it means? It means colorless, dull, dark. Hey, do you think God wants your life colorless, dull, boring, dark? He says, listen, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. I'm going to give you a garment of praise instead of those things that are dull and colorless in your life. He says, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. He says that you will be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, the planting of the Lord, that the Lord has planted you. The Lord has established you. The Lord has set you in. And so there's something on this right now that I feel in my heart that's very important for us this morning. I believe that God is saying to us, this is for you right here, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. This is for you. And you want to know where it says there about the vengeance of our Lord? Let me help you understand what the vengeance of the Lord is. Some may call it the wrath of God. Let me give you an idea of the wrath of God. If I see one of my kids running out of a forest being chased by something trying to destroy them, and my kids are running towards me, you know what my kids are going to see on my face? They're going to see wrath. They're going to see my wrath, not against them, but against anything trying to destroy them. Because that's the wrath of a father. The wrath of a father is not against his children. It is against the things that are trying to hurt his children. The day of vengeance of our God is not a day of vengeance against people. It's a day of vengeance against the things that are trying to destroy people. It is a day of vengeance against the lies, against the things that are trying to destroy the object of his affection, which is humanity. So I want to let you know today that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed you, because the same Spirit that was in Jesus' life is in your life. And he has anointed you to start speaking some good stuff. It says good tidings there. He has anointed you to start speaking some good truth, some good messages. And I don't mean preaching, I'm talking about good news. Amen? He has anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor. And listen, do you see what it says here? You have been anointed to heal the brokenhearted. You've been anointed to heal the brokenhearted. And listen, it's everywhere. And that's what God is up. If you want to say that God is angry, the only thing that you can really say he's angry against are the things that are destroying people's lives. God doesn't hate sin just because he's super moral. God hates sin because it destroys people's lives. That's what he hates. He hates the destruction that it brings against people. And so you are called to heal those that are broken. And look at this. Proclaim, now notice what it says, liberty to captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. Do you see those two different things there? Liberty to captives. Now, those captives there, those are actually what you would call like prisoners of war, casualties of war. They really didn't do anything to deserve to be captured. They were caught in a battle. He says, so I'm sending you to heal those people, to set them free. But then notice the next thing. What about the next one? The opening of the prison to those that are bound. How many of you know someone who's in prison probably did something to deserve it? I mean, let's just be real for a moment, right? Most of the time, someone who's in a prison has done something to be where they are. But you know what I love here? Regardless of whether they did something to be in that position or they didn't do anything to be in that position, the Lord's heart is, I still want to set them both free. Amen? Whether they're just a casualty of war or whether they did something to be put into that prison, either way, I want them both free. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, that's where freedom, that's where, I mean, we've talked about all that. But I really sense this, guys, today. The oil of joy and the garment of praise. The beauty for ashes. With those three things right there in verse 3. The beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of heaviness. Those three things, after the offering was picked up, in that last song that they sang, I literally just felt waves of that coming into the room. Those three things right there. And I just want you to receive that today. I don't feel like I have grace to go into a teaching or a message. This is all I'm giving you today. All right? This is all I'm giving you today. And this is what I sense is on the Father's heart, is that you receive this beauty for ashes. I don't care whether it's in your health, your finances, your relationships, your job, whatever it is, whatever looks like it's been burned, whatever looks like it's ashes, whatever looks like it's been destroyed, God wants to give you beauty in the very area that looks destroyed. If it's in relationships, He wants you to experience beauty in those relationships. If it's finances, He wants you to experience beauty in that area that you've been burned. If it's in your health, He wants there to be something beautiful manifest out of the very place there was once sickness. You see that? That is the day of vengeance. That is vengeance. That God is saying, I'm going to put vengeance on the thing that's tried to destroy my people. I'm going to bring vengeance against the thing that's tried to destroy them, because I want to set them free. Freedom to them, vengeance to the things that are trying to attack them. Are you getting that? And he says there, after beauty for ashes, he says this oil of joy. Listen, religion can never produce joy. A person who's legalistic, there is no joy. It's always serious. It's always, you know, this I think I'm spiritual mentality. Listen, God wants joy. What could happen if we started actually living in the joy of Jesus? You know what Jesus said? He says, my joy I give to you. Not just a joy, not just some joy or a quality. He says, the very joy that I have existed in between me, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the very joy we have shared from eternity past, that's the joy I'm giving to you. My joy. And some of you just need to receive that right now. Some of us need to receive a huge dose of the joy of the Lord. And then he says there, and I'm going to give you a garment of praise. Do you know what will stop complaining? Do you know what will stop murmuring? Do you know what will keep us out of the negativity and speaking of all that junk? If you can just receive the garment of praise. Praise replaces complaining and murmuring and doubt and all those lies, because praise is not just about a worship song, even though that's a part of it. Praise is about a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And when Jesus gave thanks for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what happens to them? They multiply when he gives thanks for them. Not when he says, Father, this is not enough. Father, this is not going to work. No, when he says, Father, I thank you. He gave thanks for it, and then all of a sudden, the limits are broken off. You want some limits to be broken off? I'll tell you, the garment of praise starts bringing some color back in your life. The garment of praise starts bringing some exciting things. Nothing dull, nothing boring, nothing colorless. Why? Because the garment of praise opens up something. You ever notice this verse in Isaiah? It says, salvation will be their walls, but praise will be their gates. Salvation is the wall. He says, but the gates will be called praise. What are gates all about? Access points. Things that are allowed to come in. What's the gate called? Praise. Are you getting that? What does praise do? It is a gate. It is a gateway that allows for things to start flowing. Think some of us need to open the gate? Need to open the gate of praise? Amen? I'm done. This is all I have for you today. Dad, do you have anything?
Before we're dismissed, you all know that I had this incident that I went through when I got pneumonia back in December. You know, and I can sit here and make a list of all the woes. They took out my thyroid. They took out my gallbladder. They say I need a new kidney. I mean, all of these things I can just write down on a list and be gloomy about it. But I'm filled with praise for my God. See, I can't explain it to you. I didn't see light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't even see the tunnel. A lot of things that people say that you go through. But I saw death three times. And there's something that stood there in the path for death not to consume me. He's the light of the world. It's Jesus. So every time death wanted to overtake me, they call it code blue. When you hear them say code blue over the intercom, that means everyone has to run to that room to see what's going on. And three times, and I can't tell you I remember any one of those times, because I don't. I was in ICU for 8 weeks straight. They had me so sedated that I didn't know where I was. My wife said that people came to visit me and I spoke with them, I conversed with them, but I cannot tell you for the life of me who was there. And yet she said I spoke back and answered to them like if I was fully aware, and I don't remember a thing. But three times that was called out with my name on it. But in the midst of all the medical things, in the midst of all the medical people, in the midst of it all, there stood someone there between me and the next world. And that one was Jesus. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter what it was that would come against me, what man could see or what man could not see. Jesus stood right there. And He is the way. And He's the truth. And He's our life. So, as what Ryan was saying, you might think, well, that wasn't a long message, or, you know, we need to be broken of this mentality that church has to go a certain way. You just heard a word from heaven. And that word from heaven is the word that will come and set you free. It'll make you free. So you heard a word straight from the throne. So remember, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what accumulates against you, they got to go through someone. The wrath of the Father. And He's not looking at the child running towards Him. He's looking at what it is that is making him run. What it is that's making him uneasy. What it is that is making him fearful. Because that fear does not come from Him. So when they called code blue, didn't matter what else was going on, there was something, someone coming in my behalf, and that was Jesus. So get the garment of praise and the spirit of thanksgiving for the heaviness, and those ashes will turn into something beautiful, because there's someone with you that'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. You all know that I believe in truth and revelation, and understanding Scripture and understanding the heart of God, the thoughts of God and all that. But you also understand that with the Word and with truth, there is also the experience of that truth. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to leave you with a book. He says, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to leave you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come from the Father. And He's going to bring you into all these things that I've been telling you about. See, this thing is not just about information. This is about the experience of the relationship, the experience of truth. Truth is not just intellectual information. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. And that person wants to encounter us. That person wants us to experience Him. That person called truth, even the Holy Spirit, is called the Spirit of Truth. That means truth is not just words. Truth is a living encounter. And this morning, I feel like what we are having is not just informational truth. We're having encountering truth. Truth is encountering us. Truth is actually pouring something into us, touching us, moving in us, operating in us. Because God is not distant. God is not distant. Religion thrives on a distant God and makes you think you have to do things to reach Him. Jesus always was among the people. He was never distant. He was always there in their midst, showing this is what the Father's like. Hey, you up in the tree, I'm going to your house and I'm having dinner with you. Me? Yeah, you. But I didn't invite you. I'm going anyway. Yeah, you know why? Because that was His heart. I want to be among people. I want to be with you. Why is His first miracle at a wedding feast? He's there with people. He wasn't too holy, too religious, too serious to be at a party. And the first miracle that happens is at a party, a celebration. And what's it a celebration of? Union. You think He's trying to show us something in the Father's heart? It says, and His glory first started to manifest here at this wedding of Cana. That the Father's heart is wanting to send a message to us. That the first time the glory of Jesus manifests is at a celebration, at a party, where He makes wine, joy, and it's at a place that is celebrating union. No distance, union, together, oneness. Guys, do you see the message? Now can we just experience it? Jesus, we don't want to just hear truth. We don't only want to just know truth as information. We want to experience it. And this morning, today, there has been an experience that can continue past this service, that can continue past this gathering, an experience, a union that can last us forever. And I declare today, Lord, that we are going to see beauty for ashes. What looked destroyed, what looked hopeless, what looked like it'll never be the same, it'll never happen, it'll never come back. Lord, even as it says in Job, that even if a tree has been cut down to its roots and there looks to be no hope for it, yet at the scent of rain, that tree will begin to bud. That tree will begin to manifest its fruit. that even though it looked dead, and even though the stump would be considered dead in the ground at the smell of rain, Lord, we just declare the rain of heaven is here. We declare the rain of your presence is here. The rain of truth, the rain of your spirit is here, pouring down upon us, watering the seeds of revelation and truth that we have heard for years, watering them so that it won't just stay in our knowledge, it will become our experience. It will become our lifestyle. It will manifest through our life. And so we declare there is beauty for ashes. Everything that seems destroyed, we say beauty for ashes. Everything that seems burnt, beauty for ashes. And we say the oil of joy, the oil of joy be released into our lives in Jesus' name. Your joy you give to us. Your joy you give to us. And I say to your people today that the joy of Jesus, the very same joy that exists within the triune God, is what is given to you. It's what's given to you so that you can start experiencing the joy of your freedom, the joy of your salvation, the joy of the life of God that's inside of you. I just say, Father, let the world see a joyful church. Let the world see a joyful company of believers, not religious and serious and boring and dull, but let them see people that are living life to the fullness, in the abundance of life, because you said, Jesus, that the Father's desire is to give us life and to give it to us in a more abundance. And so we just declare abundant life manifesting from the people of God, abundant life manifesting from the church of Jesus in society, that nations will come running to the light they see in us. People will come running to the joy they see in us because it's lighting up their dull, colorless lives with something that is bright. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus has commissioned you to be the light that he has been to this world. Now it's in you, and it manifests through you. So, Father, set us free from the religious nonsense, the religious and legalistic garbage that has tried to plague us. Set us free from that and bring us into the joy of freedom. Bring us in to the year of our Lord, to the day of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. That's what we're living in. That's what we're experiencing. The Jubilee, the joy, the fruit of life. And Father, lastly, I just declare over your people the garment of praise. The garment of praise that you have given to them, let them start walking in that. It replaces all the lies of complaining and murmuring and gossip and slander. I'm telling you, the garment of praise replaces all that negative junk. And so, Lord, we declare that praise will flow out of us. That praise will once again be our gates, that it flows out of us. And the release of heaven just flows right back.